Good to see each one here this morning. As Brother Allen said, we have a number that are in the cars, and we're glad you're able to be there and participate in the service this morning. We have some back that's been sick and are able to be here again today, and that's good. And our prayers are with those that were mentioned this morning and those that have lost loved ones especially. I'd encourage you to turn to Revelation, if you will, chapters 21 and 22. I'm going to do some reading from these verses this morning about the New Jerusalem, the holy city, the place we refer to as heaven, the eternal abode of the saved forever and ever. A few days ago, I was talking to Brother Barry Heatherly, and he had a relative that passed away, and so did James Graves, as he mentioned this morning. And in the conversation, Barry made the statement, we were talking about the sister that passed away and her husband being gone only a few months now. He was a few years older than her, but in his 90s, I believe, when he passed away. But they were faithful members of the church, as far as we knew. And anytime you visited 4th Street, Brother Lee would always be there in the foyer, ready to shake your hand and welcome you in. And but his wife was a faithful member of the church also. And she passed away this week. And Barry made the statement. He said, yes, she's gone on now. And he said, she's passed from the works of this life, and she's gone on to her reward. And that was that's a good statement. And we often hear that statement when those loved ones of brothers and sisters in Christ pass away and gone on to their reward. Revelation chapter 21 and 22 is a good place to look this morning to talk about that reward. The reward that we find that is there for those who serve God faithfully. Let's look to Revelation chapter 21 and 22. We're going to read a few of these verses. We're not going to read the entire passage at one time, but we'll read a few of them as we go through the lesson this morning and talk about some of the thoughts about that wonderful place, that place called heaven. And we know in this life, God designed us that we would live and that we would be productive, that we would have certain things we should do in this life, that we're responsible for many things and we have duties to fulfill while we're here, and that the process of life, the days, the weeks, the months, the years that one may live, it varies from person to person. It may be a few weeks, a few days, or a few weeks. It may be a few months. It may be a few or several years. It could be many years as named, numbered by mankind on this earth. But we know that the lifespan for all of us is somewhat different here. And what we do here is going to have a great bearing, a very much a bearing on where we're going to be in eternity, because we need to serve our time here on earth in fear of God, in love of God, in the reverence of God, and in doing His will. And we know that those who do His will inherit eternal life. Blessed are they that die in the Lord. And so that reward is going to be a better place. And that's what we talk about this morning in Revelation chapter 21 and 22. It describes this holy city as a better place. Look at Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 7, and let's read these verses. Revelation 21, beginning in verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and He shall dwell among them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be among them. And He shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall no longer be any death, there shall no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. And He who sits on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. And He said, write, for these words are faithful and true. And He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost. He who overcomes shall inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. Certainly, these seven verses in Revelation chapter 22 describes a better place than here. It's a better place for various reasons. It's not only described as a better place, but it's described as a beautiful place. Look at verse 9. Now let's read through verse 26 of Revelation chapter 21. And one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and spoke with me, saying, "Come here, I will show you the bride and wife of the Lamb." And he carried me away in the Spirit in a great and high mountain, and showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her brilliance was like a very costly stone, as a stone of crystal clear jasper. It had a great and high wall with 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names were written on them, which are those of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel. There were 3 gates on the east, and 3 gates on the north, and 3 gates on the south, and 3 gates on the west. And the wall of the city had 12 foundation stones, and on them were the 12 stones of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And the one who spoke with me had a gold measuring rod to measure the city and its gates and its wall. And the city is laid out as a square, and its length is as great as the width. And he measured the city with a rod, 1,500 miles. Its length and width and height are equal. And he measured its walls 72 yards, according to human measurements, which are also angelic measurements. And the material of the wall was jasper, and the city was pure gold, like clear glass. The foundation stones of the city wall were adorned with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation stone was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, and fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, and ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, I cannot pronounce that one, the 12th amethyst. And the 12th gates were 12 pearls. Each one of the gates was a single pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold like transparent glass. And I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb are its temple. And the city has no need of the sun or the moon to shine upon it, for the glory of God has illumined it, and the lamp is the Lamb. And the nations shall walk by its light, and the kings of the earth shall bring their glory into it. And in the daytime, for there shall be no night there, its gates shall never be closed. And they shall bring the glory and the honor to the nations into it. And verse 27 says, "And nothing unclean, and no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." So in these verses, an extensive reading this morning, you are, each one in this building this morning is familiar with these verses. We studied this these verses extensively with Brother Alan Guthrie a year or so ago when we were studying Revelation. He did a good job teaching that. But look at the description of the holy city, Jerusalem, heaven, the eternal abode of the saved. Where we're going, if we remain faithful to God, we'll hear Him say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant, enter the joys of the Lord." So this is a better place. It is a beautiful place. And in the New Jerusalem, let's look back to these verses that we just read, and maybe a few other verses also in these two chapters, and look at some of the things that's going to be in that place, in the eternal abode, the New Jerusalem, the holy city, heaven, eternal abode of the saints. In the New Jerusalem, God is with His people. Some versions say He is among His people. Go back to Revelation chapter 21 and verse 3 that we read earlier. "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and He shall dwell among them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be among them." Now, let's pause just a minute and think about it. While we're on this earth, we know God is with us. When we are baptized into Christ, we become His children. The Lord adds us to the church, His body. Christ is the head of the church. The church is the bride of Christ, and we belong to God. We're His children. We know God is with us, and we pray. We know He hears our prayers. We know God is with us. He's everywhere. We can't hide from Him. He knows everything about us. We know God is with us, and we know when we come together to worship Him on the first day of the week and come together for worship services that God is here with us. But now, God is a spirit. But think about the fact that when we are changed to a body like unto His own. We have our spiritual abode in heaven. God will be among the people. And we'll be able to be there with God and the Son, the Father, the Son, the Godhead, and the saved of all the ages and the angels, singing praises to God forever and ever and ever. God will be among His people there. Who won't be there? Those who are not His people on this earth. Those who do not obey Him and are not prepared to go there, they will not be there. They cannot enter that place. They'll be somewhere else in punishment. So we need to keep our faith and look to that lasting city, that continuing city, that place of heaven, so we can go there when this life is over. In the New Jerusalem, chapter 21 of Revelation, verse 4 tells us that in that place, in that city, there's no more death, tears, or pain. And He shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall no longer be any death. There shall no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. Really, from the human standpoint, from our reasoning, our thinking, from our hearts, we can't imagine a place where there's never any pain or never any sorrow, never any death. Never any mourning, because all those things are gone. They won't be in heaven. It's life eternal. What a wonderful place. In the New Jerusalem is the river of the water of life. Look at chapter 22 and verse 1. And He showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and off the Lamb. Think about it. The river of the water of life, where we will never die. Eternal life. That's why it's called eternal life. When we transition over to heaven, we're never going to die again. We'll be there with God, with all the saved of all the ages, and life is there. Eternal life. Remember when God put Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden? And He placed them there and put everything to sustain their life, and they had access to life. What caused them to lose that access to life and then die? It was sin separated them from God. We know that there'll be no sin in heaven. Nothing is going to enter it. Nothing that makes a lie, nothing that's abominable, nothing that's not good and just and honest and right in the sight of God will be there. But there is the river of the water of life, and nothing can separate us from God at that point, because we're there forever and ever and ever. Chapter 22 and verse 1, in the New Jerusalem is the throne of God and of the Lamb. And He showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Think about it. The throne of God. The God of heaven and earth, the creator of the universe, the controller of the universe, the God who made man in His image, the God who sent His Son, and His Son went and He came and gave His life for us. God's throne is there, and God Himself is there, and the Son is there. God the Father and the Lamb is there. These are things that will be in the New Jerusalem, in the holy city, the eternal abode, that this morning we're looking forward to going to. Because we know if we're faithful, we will go there. Well, there in the New Jerusalem, we see in chapter 22 and verse 2, again is the tree of life. We talked about the river, the water of life, but the tree of life. There'll be no more dying. There'll be no more pain. There'll be no more sorrow. There won't be any death. 22 and verse 2, in the middle of its street, and on either side of the river was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. The tree of life. Let's note one other thing, and this is a multiplicity of things, and that is that in the New Jerusalem are blessings forever. Blessings that we can't comprehend. Think about it. No sorrow, no pain, no suffering, no tears, no dying. God and the Son are there. The throne of God is there. The river, the water of life is there. And the tree of life is there, and the blessings are there forever. Verses 3 through 5, again, of Revelation 22. And there shall no longer be any curse. And the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his bondservant shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. And there shall no longer be any night. And they shall not have need of the light of a lamp, nor the light of the sun, because the Lord God shall illumine them, and they shall reign forever and ever. Blessings forever. Where's that going to be? In the New Jerusalem, the holy city, the place called heaven. Well, what are we doing here today? So, today we look at some that in the New Jerusalem, the holy city, there's a it's a better place. And let's think about some other scriptures from the book, not only from Revelation, but from the Bible. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 13 and look at a few verses that talks about this better place that we're going to go to. The saved are going to forever and ever and ever. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 12 through 14. Therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people through his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Hence let us go out to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we do not have a lasting city, but we are seeking the city which is to come. We're seeking heaven. We're seeking the city that's eternal, the New Jerusalem. The Jews, they sought the promise of God through Abraham, the coming of Christ. We know that happened. We know he came. We know he lived. We know he died. He resurrected. He's gone into heaven. The testimony we read last Sunday morning in our study of Acts about how that Christ ascended into heaven. We're going to study about it this morning also. Ascending into heaven. We know there's a place called heaven. And so we look for that better place because we know he's coming again to take us to that place. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, verses 13 through 16. All these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth, for those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, and he has prepared a city for them. So in Revelation 21 and 22, we see a description of that better place, that beautiful place that God has prepared for those who serve him. And we see that the Hebrew writer talks about those who serve God by faith and obey him, look for that what? That lasting city, that better place. Turn back, if we will, to Galatians chapter 4, and let's look at just a few verses there, beginning in verse 26. This is showing the difference in the bond woman and the free woman. What's going to happen to those who are set free by the blood of Christ and through the blood of Christ and the place they're going to go? They're going to have the freedom in heaven of eternal life. Verse 26, but the Jerusalem above is free. She is our mother. For it is written, rejoice, barren woman, and does not bear. Break forth and shout, you who are not in labor. For more are the children of the desolate than of the one woman who has a husband. And you, brethren, like Isaac, are children of promise. So here we go. We're the children of promise. God promised Abraham through his seed that all nations would be blessed, and those people there looked for that. Some of them were alive when that promise came. We know that promise is for us. So salvation is in Christ. So what does God promise us through Christ? Eternal life. Where's that eternal life going to be? In the New Jerusalem, the holy city. Let's go on down and look at verse 29 through 31. But as that time he was born according to the flesh, persecuted him when he was born according to the Spirit, so it is now also. But what does the Scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be an heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of a bondwoman, but of the free woman. So as children of God, we are going to be recipients of the promise of God through Abraham, the salvation of Christ, the forgiveness of our sins, and then the promise of God that comes through that, what? Eternal life. Where? In the New Jerusalem, the holy city that comes down, where the saved of all the ages will be. I noted just a few songs. We're not going to sing any of them or read any of them this morning, but this is just a few songs. I listed 7 songs about heaven, how beautiful heaven must be, where the roses never fade, the fact that it's a wonderful place. And our song books are filled with scriptural songs that talk about this New Jerusalem, this holy city, this place of God. Well, the better place, as we've talked about this morning in Revelations 21 and 22, is for who? It's for the faithful. I know you want to go there, and I want to go there. If anyone reads about the New Jerusalem, the holy city, and understands the beauty of it, and how much better place it is than this place, and who's going there, then we want to be among those who go. We want to be among the faithful. So the question for me and the question for you is, where will I be in eternity? Am I preparing myself to go to this place? Will others who know you and know me, when we pass, will they say, she's going to her reward, he's going to his reward? Everyone's going to their reward somewhere, but it won't be a reward of beauty and life and peace if we live in sin and don't serve God. He will give the reward of those who have done iniquity with eternal punishment. There's a vast difference in eternal punishment and eternal life and blessings, where there's no pain, no sorrow, no death, no crying, no mourning, no end of all the blessings. That's where we seek. So are we preparing for the New Jerusalem? Just a few thoughts this morning I hope will encourage you and encourage me to think about who we are, what we're doing here, the importance of spending our life as we sojourn on this earth in service of God, because look what a beautiful place God has prepared, and look what a better place it will be than here. Certainly we want to go there. If you aren't prepared to go there at this time, this morning, and you haven't been baptized into Christ, and we can assist you with that, if you're willing to confess Christ, repent of your sins, and be baptized, you can be on the road to heaven today by obeying the Lord in baptism. If you're here this morning, there's something in your life that may have took you by the wayside, that's hindered your path to heaven, and you need the prayers of the brethren, then we'll be glad to pray with you and for you. If you just need to pray to God yourself and do that, then do it on your own and make it right. But if we can help you in any way, come while W.A. leads us in the invitation song.